be proactive rather than reactive with your approach to time. That's what we're talking about today. Hi, this is Frank Buck, and this is the place to be if you want to get organized and make it look easy. My guest today is Dave Buck, and to answer the question you all have on your mind right now, no, we are not related at all. Dave, welcome. So glad to have you.
Welcome, Frank, though, but if people equate your intelligence to our last name, I'm going to own it then, okay? So,
fantastic. You know, my whole life I've heard, yeah, well, the buck stops here, ha, 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 as if I had never heard that one before. And, you know, and you're making the big bucks. You know, there's all kind of plays on words that you have heard. But for our audience, we first met, we were both asked to speak at a summit called, it was the Time Blocking and Task Management Summit, I believe, in 2023. And so each of us presented. And then in addition to that, there were some interviews set up. And so I was chosen to interview Dave. So Dave, why don't you, if you'll start by just bringing our audience up on who you are and kind of your little corner of the world.
Well, again, thank you, Frank. It's an honor to be here and to talk with you again, since, yes, you said we've done this before. So a little bit about me. I have got 35 plus years in what I call business development. That's a fancy word, was I was in sales. And so for most of my career in sales, as I got going in that, I found that, you know, these amazing good looks and my charisma wasn't going to get me the sale. What I found got me the sale and became the foundation for my success was, is I wanted to be as prepared or more prepared than my competition. And that I found revolved around me being able to use my time well. And that became how I worked with clients, because not only did I want to save myself time, I wanted to build trust through them through managing their time as well, meaning making things as easy as possible for them. And so in and amongst all that, about 4 years ago, I left what I felt was my most favorite job, but I got the entrepreneurial bug and I started my own business. I called it Kairos Management Solutions. Kairos is one of the Greek words for time. And right now I help two sets of people. I help people who are in careers, so individuals, teams, and companies, work out what I call a time-optimized strategy for how they can be more productive to whatever level that they need, but also through my own personal journey in trying to figure out what post-career life is going to be like, what am I going to do when I choose to decide working? I also have a second group of people that I work with, and those who are headed into retirement, where we craft this time optimized strategy for what I call post-career or retirement life that helps them get the meaning, the most out of what they're going to do, with a lot of cases, a lot more flexibility in how they can use their time.
Okay. And, you know, at the end, we'll always ask the question, how can people find out more about you? But I'm sure even at this point, people are going, where's the website? So give us the URL, if you would, of where people could go.
Sure. Thank you. It's infinitylifestyledesign.com, all one word. So infinitylifestyledesign.com. And when you get to the front page, one of the things the foundations that I use with people, if I have two assessments, the time management analysis for those people in career, and the retirement time analysis for those thinking about post-career, you on the front page there, you're welcome. You get a free complimentary summary assessment. You can take one or both of them.
Fantastic. You know, and I know people as they reach our age, making that transition in life for, you know, for what you've done for maybe several decades to now, what am I going to do in post-retirement? How am I going to handle finance? You know, the whole nine yards. It's almost like a sort of like a second life, a second start, so to speak. So, you know, it's some really great information.
Thank you.
I know in your work you talk about optimizing time and really you break it down into two different perspectives, internal focus and external focus. Could you share a little bit of what that means to our audience?
Sure. So I like to use the term optimize versus management. And again, nothing wrong with management. This is not a criticism, but when we look at management, sometimes that is a reactive approach to things that we do. We can be very effective at managing, but we can be handling things as they come to us. And so my principle and my hope is that people flip that script, become more proactive. And that's where I bring the optimizing in, because I think it's a better word to describe how you can try to anticipate what's going to happen and then weave that into your equation on how you're going to use your time. You're never going to get it right. I mean, I can't predict. If somebody does, then you need to write that book. But for me, I try to anticipate as much so that I am the keeper and the owner of my time and I can negotiate things differently. And then when it comes to internal and external focus, I think that focus is the key that I work with my clients most on, and as it revolves around that, because we're naturally challenged today on our focus from a whole host of areas. And what I mean by internal focus is those are the things that you allow yourself to stop what you're doing or to be disrupted by due to events in and around you. And then external focus are those areas where you necessarily don't have control, as much control, but they come at you from the outside in and keep you from being focused that way.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my notes, and in preparing for this interview today, one of the things I did was just simply went back to the notes preparing for that first interview and the notes that I took as we talked. And one of the things that I jotted down that I'm looking at right now, you talk about procrastination as one of the internal things, which I think probably everybody would go, yep, that's something that's internal, we control. But you talked about procrastinations when you put things off more than once. So tell us about that little distinction.
Yeah, so some people say that, oh, I've procrastinated on this, and I'll say it's okay. Tell me why you procrastinate. Well, I wanted to do it on Tuesday, and I did it on Thursday. And I said, really, did you really procrastinate then? Or did you reprioritize what you had to do? And so I try to tell people, you got to give yourself grace. Now, if you find yourself, hey, I plan to do this on Tuesday, and then you say, I'm going to do it on Thursday, and then you don't do it on Thursday, and then you continue to find yourself delaying or pushing it out, what happens at that point is, even if it's a B or C level priority, if you want to use an ABC metric, you find that C level priority, when you continue to delay, then becomes an A level priority that you're scrambling. And so to me, that procrastination is, you also know by that by delaying this, you know it's going to cause you harm in the future, but you continue to do it. And it just compounds. And at that point, I say, you got to stop and establish a plan around how you're going to complete that task level.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I also jotted down, I put defined goals. Of course, we all have goals, and we always, you got to set yourself some goals, achieve your goals. But defined goals, how is that different? And where do people fall short?
So typically, I found this a lot in business, is it's in individual, but also in team dynamics, is we make a statement. So for example, you're looking at my room behind me. If I make the statement that I'm going to paint my room, okay, that's a goal. But I can leave it there, but there's a lot of elements I have to do before I achieve that goal of painting my room. I got to understand the color that I want to paint it. I've got to get the right supplies that I need to do. I need to pick the type of paint that I want to have. I need to understand the allocation of the time that it's going to take to complete that activity. And so defined goals to me are adding all the elements into there. Instead of it just being necessarily a generalized purpose statement, a goal to me has to have all the elements behind it that achieves it in the time that you want to get it done.
Sounds great. Yeah. You know, that so many people, they have something on their list and it just rides and it rides and it rides. And it's something like, you know, paint the room. Okay. Well, why has that been on your list for 6 months? Well, you know, I just don't know what color. Okay, well, what could help you decide what color? You know, well, you know, I've got a friend who's an artist who's so good at these things. You know, I probably need to get him to just come over and give me a suggestion. Okay, how could you make that happen? Well, I could call him on the phone. Okay, do you have his phone number? Yeah, I have his phone number. Okay. Why don't you call him on the phone right now and ask him to come over? Yeah. And the next thing you know, it's the next day you have your paint color and then bam, things just get rolling. So it's, you know, it's amazing when people just don't stop to determine what is that thing that's next. They don't do the thinking. And of course that's why there's such a need for people like you and I. Because we're the ones that say, all right, let's break this down. What's the very next thing you need to do about this? And then why is this one hanging around? And then you also talked about, you know, those external, the external focus and the external things that keep you from being productive. What are some of those?
So the first natural thing is an external challenge is interruptions. And again, I distinguish interruptions and distractions. Distractions to me are the internal things that you allow yourself to be disrupted by. The interruptions are a little bit more difficult because those are people coming from the outside, typically people who need your time or want your time. And you then have to decide at that point, if you haven't already, and many people don't, because they haven't planned their days out with enough detail, lack the ability to negotiate that interruption or even stop it. And so because we have that natural inclination to want to serve, most of us do, we then try to say, we stop what we're doing to address that interruption and then try to come back to what we're doing. And to me, it's more, again, the optimization, the proactive nature of it is because you know where your day is planned. Typically what I will do if someone wants to interrupt me, I'll say, hey, listen, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being it's really not a priority, 10, it's a zombie apocalypse and you need me immediately, give me somewhere in between. And you'll find they'll realize it can wait. And then you can negotiate a future timeframe that's beneficial to both of you.
Yeah. How do you teach other people how to adopt that kind of thing?
I think, again, it starts back to you owning the calendar, not the calendar owning you. I work with clients all the time that one of the first things I ask them to do is open up your calendar and let me see your calendar. And typically I see a calendar populated with a variety of blocks in it, with a ton of blank or white space behind it. And so I'll say, so tell me what's going on these areas you have allocated off. And they'll say, oh, that's usually either a meeting I called for, or it's a meeting that I've been asked to attend. And I said, okay, so what's happening in the white spaces? Well, I try to work on my task lists or do other things. And I said, well, what if someone puts a meeting, late breaking meeting in there? Well, I'll try to figure out what I'm doing. I'll reallocate that and I'll go handle the meeting. And I push and I teach that you need to fill every single hour of that calendar. It doesn't have to be down to the granular detail, but it has to say, you know what, from 2 to 4, I've got this project I want to work on. And I'm going to put it on my calendar. And it doesn't mean that you're so rigid that you don't make yourself available for assistance, but it offers you that opportunity to negotiate. So if someone comes in and says, they're going to put a meeting on top of what you're doing. You can say, particularly if it's your boss, you can say, I need a little help prioritizing things because I'm working on this project that you have due later in the week. You just drop something else in that time frame. Does that take precedence and you're going to give me more time on this other thing? Help me understand that. So it immediately puts you in a negotiating standpoint for the value of your time.
Sounds great. Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm thinking back to my background as a school administrator. I was a principal for many years. And of course, everybody needs a little piece of your time, you know, and the teachers only got a short planning time during the day. So they're coming in, here's a knock at the door. You know, it's the only 30 minutes that they're available the whole day. So that's the only time they can come and try to get a piece of your time. So you're interrupted here, you're interrupted there. And I found something that worked for me was in the morning before all the classes start, just walk in the halls, just being out in the halls. And so everybody knew they were going to have a shot at me first thing, you know, so for that little question that would take 15 seconds, they were going to have a shot then because they didn't want to interrupt. But if they knew, here's a time when I know I'm going to have a little piece of his time, that cut down so much on the other interruptions. And then I also find, you know, the ability to negotiate with your boss. For example, there have been times where I've had a Zoom meeting scheduled with someone who's in education, and it's on my calendar, it's on their calendar. You know, this is an appointment. And, you know, I'm in the Zoom room and they're not. And they don't show up. And then later when I get up with that person, they said, well, my principal asked me to do, you know. And they're my boss. And I said, well, did they say stand him up, forget about that meeting you had on your calendar, just do this and stand him up? Well, no. So if your principal knew that you had a meeting scheduled, do you think they would have asked you to do it right then? Well, I don't know. Well, of course not. I would never have done that to a teacher. I would have said, oh, no, go ahead with me. I didn't know you had that on your calendar. This anytime in the next couple of days will be fine for you to do this task. Right. So I think we just have to be honest with other people about what's on our plate. They can't read our minds. And if we don't tell them, they're not going to know. And I noticed in my notes, saying no, but it is a part of your vernacular.
Yes, because the other element of external challenges is the idea of your ability to decline or to say no. And in many cases, again, how we're wired is we don't want to do that. We don't want to come across as rude, not being a team player. That's where, to me, it's the no but. And really, it's about not directly saying no to them. It's helping them understand what you're doing as a means to, again, negotiate whether that is a valid for you to stop what you're doing is a valid thing for you to do at that point to address their need. Because, again, external challenges are usually someone else's need of which they are looking to you to help solve that need. And you may be the one to only be able to do that. But at the same time, it's okay if you want to try to challenge back to them. To your point, when you tell people what your situation is, I have found the vast majority of the time, the other person's like, oh, okay, well, let's rechange. Let's figure out something that works well for you. Okay. But if they don't know that, they want to solve their need and they're going to continue and you're going to be that tool to help that happen. They may not think to ask you if your time is already being used.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I tell people all the time that people tend to do the easiest thing. And so if they have a problem, and if the easiest thing is come and knock on your door right then and hand that problem off to you to solve, they will do that. But if they find that because of the reaction that they get, that, you know, can I'm involved in this right now, can you come back and can we meet at 3 o'clock? Or, what have you done to try and solve this problem before coming to me? Then they find that the easiest thing to do is try Googling it themselves, you know, to try a little something first and then bring it to you. Then if they don't, what they're going to find is, well, now they kind of have to go back and do a little homework on their own before bringing that problem to you. I'm looking again at the notes that I took when we talked last time, and I wrote lack of focus equals two times as many errors. So that goes back to the interruption sort of thing.
Yes. So I had found when I looked at a lot of data, you know, because obviously I get a lot of data from the assessments that I do, coupled with independent research. And you just look at when someone is working in something diligently. So we're at something. Once we get interrupted, it can take us, depending on what we're doing, 15 to 20 minutes to get back to the level of productivity that we're at prior to that interruption. So you can imagine if you're in an office environment and you need protected time, and you have where people are coming to you all the time, you can take a 2-hour project and turn it into a 4-hour activity simply because it takes you time to get back into the level of focus that you were at. And so the idea of proactively going out and negotiating that protected time, whether it's if you're a leader, you tell your team for the next 2 hours, everybody, unless there is a level 10 issue that's out there, it's got to wait because I have to get this done. But as a leader, you need to do the same thing. If your team has to work on an important activity, you've got to wait for your interruption unless it's a level 10 problem so that you're not taking the focus away of what they need to do for their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. So about 15 to 20 minutes just to get back on track. And, you know, some of the statistics I've said, you know, very close to that, I think it's Michigan State. It was like 23 minutes. And then there's the statistic about how often people in the business world are interrupted. I've seen anywhere from an executive from 3 minutes to 8 minutes that an interruption occurs. So if the interruption is happening every 3 to 8 minutes and it's taking you anywhere from 15 to 23 minutes to get back on track, then you do the math and you go, how does anybody get anything done? So you're on those days when you come to the end of the day and you go, I'm further behind. You know, I worked all day long. I'm further behind now than I was to start with. What do I do? So you know, interruptions and all the time management research I've read, you know, back when I was doing my doctoral dissertation now, 25 years ago, gosh, where has the time gone? And so much of it was, you know, if you can control the phone and drop in visitors, you can control your day. You got to get a handle on those two things, the phone and drop in visitors. And now we got to add to that tons of email, voicemail, instant messaging. The interruptions are coming from everywhere. Slack, you know, you name it. And so we've got to protect our time. And nobody's going to look out for my time the way I am. That's my response. That's on me. I can't blame somebody else for not looking out for my time if I don't. And I know, you know, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Totally, totally. Couldn't have said it better.
Right. What have we not talked about that you would like to be able to get across to people?
So we talked about the external elements of it, and there is definitely a linkage and a correlation between interruptions and distractions. You know, interruptions external, distractions internal. And to me, distractions is actually the number one area we go to. So procrastination is a close second, but distractions are actually the biggest challenge that people are dealing with now that I work with. And the biggest impact related to that is, you mentioned it, emails, text. We are allowing ourselves to stop what we're doing. Social media is designed to distract us. It is designed to pull us away from what we're doing.
And they do a great job, don't they?
It is. And distractions for me is my biggest time optimized opportunity. It still is. I will allow myself to be distracted. So I have to do things like quarantine my phone or tablet if I need to do focused work. I need to shut off all computer notifications so I don't see that email come in and go, oh, I can go answer that. I put a zone of almost digital silence around me to be able to focus what I want to do. And so I really push people to say, if you can control distractions, you will find other elements of your time management come into play for improvement. So if you can control distractions, you're probably not procrastinating as much because you don't allow those distractions to take you away from what you're doing. So I'm a big proponent of, if there's one area that I would tell people to start to control their time, is to put limits on the use of their phone for social media purposes.
Amen. And so you're not having to change anybody else's behavior, your boss's behavior, your spouse's behavior, your children's behavior. That's your own behavior. That's all you got to do. You know, and as much as I'm in the time management world, you know, I find that when I go to YouTube for the specific purpose of, say, going to my own channel to look at a particular portion of one of my videos or to grab a particular link, you know, something that is productive. And I click and there I am on YouTube. And before you know it, it's, well, now before this looks interesting. Let me just watch a couple of minutes of this little, and then this one looks interesting. And the next thing you know, 30 minutes have gone by and I'm going, why was it that I came here to YouTube in the first place?
Yes.
And you know, it goes back to the interruption and the thing, not only are we interrupted by either ourselves or someone else, what, every 3 to 8 minutes, and it takes how many minutes to get back on track. But then the thing is, so often we don't get back on track, you know, that we've had this interruption and now, gosh, it's 15 minutes to that next meeting. I don't have time to get back on this. And then it's, well, I got to get going. Well, it's, you know, lunch is coming up. I'll get on it right after lunch. And then, you know, and then it's tomorrow. And when people say, how does a project wind up being a year late? One day at a time.
Going back to that incremental we talked about, if you just did just a little bit during that time frame, you'd see progress, you'd feel better, and it wouldn't be a year later you're scratching your head going, wow, is this even relevant anymore? Because so much can change in a year.
Oh, yeah. Like, one of the things on my plate right now that I'm really, you know, I think it's a noble thing is, one, again, going back to my own background, before I was a principal, I was a band director. And being a little older now, I've kind of gotten caught up in, you know, the history of bands in our state. And one of the things on my plate is to set up interviews, like a Zoom with 14 different people who are a member of a particular honorary organization. Can you imagine scheduling these interviews with people who are all really older than I am? I was kind of the kid when some of these people were in their heyday. And all of it would be enough to really say, I don't have time for that. But when I sat down to break it down, it was, well, first, I need to just send an email to each of them. Do I have their email addresses? Yes or no? And if not, here's a directory where they all are. And then I probably want to call them and just say, you know, here are the kind of things we talk about. Let's put a time on our calendars. They're not going to understand Calendly. That's long past it. So, well, gosh, do I have their phone numbers? Let me go look those up. That's doable. And then so it comes down to all I've got phone numbers in front of me. I've got a phone right there on my desk. I could crank through two of them right now, even if it's 5 minutes to lunch, you know? So, you know, breaking those things down, making it doable. And the thing is, this stuff is so easy, you know, for folks like you and I who have at some point in our lives. And Dave, let me ask you this. At what point did the light bulb come on for you? I think you talked about the job where you were sort of, getting the promotion versus not getting the promotion, that something had to change.
Yeah, thank you. So for me, it was, I realized that when I saw that I was in front of a buyer and I delivered, I had a wonderful boss, still a mentor of mine. I still talk to him, who was all about preparing for the sales call. And he would run me through scenarios and I would be like, this is driving me crazy. They're never going to ask this question. They asked the question. Mm-hmm. And I found that by being prepared, I didn't have to go back and say, let me get back to you on that and get you an answer. But when I walked in, probably people might say over-prepared, I was ready to solve that problem at the moment. I'm like, wow, if I can, through investing time on the front end, save myself a whole bunch of time on the back end and solve the need of my client or customer, that's going to be in a good position to have repeat business. Yeah. And so to me, it was, I have to be prepared and I have to see where I'm going to save them and me time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this was something that you could do. You weren't the victim. You know, you had the power to make a change. And for me, you know, because, you know, I'm sure you get the question all the time. Yeah. Frank, you know, were you always organized, so forth? And it's like, well, to a certain extent, but for me, it was like senior year of high school. You know, up to that point, my homework, I can remember my homework. I can do my homework during study hall. I'll never have to take home a book. And then senior year, there was just more going on. And it was like, you know, folding up a piece of paper and just kind of sticking it in a textbook and just hope, you know, just remembering what, this isn't working quite the way it used to work. And I'm going to have everything I need to do in some kind of system. And so for me, it was an index card in my pocket. On the front of it was, here's what I've got going on today. And on the back of it was anything that came up. What's my homework for tonight? Jot it on the back of the card. Somebody gives you a phone number, jot it on the back of the card. And then when I got home, I had one job. Take care of the index card. That was it. One job. And then, so, you know, when I get out into the world of being a junior high band director and, oh my gosh, Dave, you wouldn't believe how many little bitty tasks are involved with something as simple as putting on a junior high band concert. But once you did it once, you had it down. So all those repeating tasks and you're just having it in a system just makes it so, so much easier.
That index program, for anyone listening today, that index card, you can do that today. What I really like about that, Frank, is one of the things when I present, typically in front of either business leaders or I'm doing a presentation to clients, is I always have something to write something down with. Or if I have someone with me, I have a scribe, so to speak, yes, who will write it down for me, because nothing brings credibility and says that the other person is important when you pull out an index card and say, you know what, let me jot that down and get that, because immediately the other person on the other side says, They care about my time. They care
about me. It was important. Yeah.
Yes.
It was important. And, you know, we've been talking so much about interruptions. And what I find is, you know, when you're kind of go to another story, you know, I'm the new principal, you know, so the teacher, again, you know, what's this new guy all about? Well, at that time I was using a daytimer. This was late 90s. So this was before going to electronic. So I had my daytimer and it was in my hand all the time. You saw me, you saw that book. And so when there was some, I was always opening the book. So they're talking to me and I'm jotting things down. And they were like, what's he writing in that little book? But they started noticing that whatever got written down in that book, it was getting done. And so one of the best professional development sessions we had, you know, the school system says, okay, you know, the kids are at home a week from Friday. You've got to plan something for your staff. And usually it's something boring that doesn't apply to half of. And so we just did a session on, let me show you about the little book. And Daytimer actually sent me little samples that I could pass out to everybody where they could use it like free for several months. And most of them wound up, you know, them becoming subscribers. And it was like, you know, this is so easy. Just in the moment, you write it down. You close the book. Now you don't have to remember this anymore.
Right.
And then later you go back and you look at what you wrote and you kind of, you know, hone what the to-dos are that came out of that. Write it on the days you need to do it. And then you just work your plan. And it's easy. And what's easy gets done. So we just got to make this easy. Got to have a system.
No, and I chuckled today because people asked me, so what tools and apps do you use? You know, what are some technology that you use? And I am on exclusively electronic with my calendar and my tasks. I no longer have either a Franklin planner, a daytimer, or anything like that. Though I don't criticize people who still do it because I'm, to me, everything's customized on how, what works well for you. But I just feel you already have 99% of us percent already have an electronic calendar and electronic tasks. And if you get to use and know both of those well inside and out, whether you use Outlook, Gmail, Yahoo, whatever, they all come with an electronic calendar and tasks. If you learn to do both of those well, you will optimize your time. You'll be proactive. You'll be doing all that stuff. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't. So that's why there's a need for you and I, Frank.
Absolutely. It's, oh, I can remember that. Oh, I can remember that. And then after you've got three things, well, you've now forgotten two of them. And yeah, you know, what tool? Well, you know, if you look at me, my 17-year-old self, when there was something to remember, I pulled out of my pocket an index card and wrote it on the back. My 64-year-old self, I'd pull out my phone about the same size, hit one button, speak the task. It goes back in my pocket, just like the index card went back in my pocket. And then later in the day, we look at what we added to the list, decide when we want to do it, how to clean it up. The phone, it's just like the index card.
Yep.
Same system, different tools. Tools change, but there's some basic principles that remain the same. And they're easy and they are free for the taking.
That is so true.
Dave, this has been such a pleasure. And, you know, I could talk to you all day.
Same
long.
Here.
This is, you know, we're both so passionate about what has made a difference for us and what can make a difference for everyone else. So remind us one more time, how do people find out more about Dave Buck and his work?
So just visit infinitylifestyledesign.com. And once you get on the first page, you'll see if you're in career and you're trying to figure out how do I be more productive while I'm in my career, or you're a leader and you figure out how to help my team be more productive, you'll see that part. And then if you're in more towards our age group and you're thinking about what do I do to have a meaningful time active life in retirement or post-career, there's a way for you to go down that road as well. And so you can address either one or both, depending on where you are at in life.
Fantastic. Dave Buck, thank you so much for being my guest today. Thanks for everybody who's tuning in. This has been Frank Buck, helping you get organized and make it look easy.